Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Soumya, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Valiant Organics Limited Q3 FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Rohit Sinha. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Soumya. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Valiant Organics Limited Q3 FY 2024 results conference call. I would like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity. We are joined on this call with Valiant Organics management, represented by Mr. Arvind Chheda, Managing Director, Mr. Mehak Chheda, Chief Financial Officer, and Mihir Shah, Senior Finance Manager. I would now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we can have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rohit. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you all at our earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months for the financial year 2024. Let me firstly thank Sunidhi Securities for hosting this conference call and also the participants for joining us today. As has been experienced across the chemical industry, there has been significant pressure across the board due to various factors related to global slowdown, mainly Europe and China dumping. Valiant has also been victim to this unforeseen industry slowdown. Unfortunately, due to this, the overall performance for the quarter was under stress, mainly due to the continued pressure on the demand and the pricing across our product categories. On standalone basis, we experienced a decline of 22% in the top line, mainly on account sales volume declining of 13% and price reduction of 9%. PAP 2 recorded average sales of only 190 metric tons per month, primarily influenced by the subdued demand for paracetamol during the month of October and November. However, there is a promising turnaround market, by December sales volume surging to 370 metric tons, indicating a surge in the paracetamol demand. As mentioned in previous quarter, we expect this year to be more or less a stabilizing year. However, we expect FY 25 to be significantly better performing year on account of growth coming from volumes improvement in PAP, the pharma intermediate projects stabilizing, also the completion of upgrading work at Ahmedabad plant, and finally contribution coming from OAP as it is reaching closer to its desired quality levels. Now I hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Mehak Chheda, who will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter. Thank you, and over to you, Mehak.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call. I hope you had a chance to study our financials and earnings presentation, which we have uploaded on our website and exchanges. Let me start by briefing you on the company's financial performance on a consolidated basis for the third quarter of the financial year ended 2024 first, followed by the performance of the 9 months of the financial year 2024. It is important to note that the pursuant to the allotment of further equity shares through IPO by company's material step-down subsidiary, namely Valiant Laboratories Limited, the stake of company's subsidiary Dhanwala Ventures LLP in VL Health has been diluted to 46.83%, and accordingly, Valiant Laboratories has ceased to a step-down subsidiary of the company and has become an associate company with effect from October 4, 2023. Hence, consolidated financials of previous quarters and year-to-date are not comparable. For the third quarter, the revenues from operation was around INR 141 crores. The EBITDA was reported at around 4 crores, and EBITDA margin for the quarter was 2.69%. And there was a net loss of 8 crores. Our revenue contribution from the business segment in the third quarter were as follows: hydrogenation accounted for 41%, Ammonolysis accounted for 27%, chlorination at 25%, and others at balance of 7%. For the 9 months ended of financial year 2024, the revenue from thank you, and now I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Our first question comes from Nisarg Vakharia from NV Alpha Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of questions. First is that any progress on the PAP plant in terms of stabilizing the process, quality, color, and all those things?
The progress on the purity levels is stable. It is what was since last quarter. So we had peaked in last quarter, so that has remained constant. The drop or the fall is on account of the lower demand. So as far as PAP is concerned, the situation remains similar. We are scaling it up. We are hoping to scale to around 600-700 metric tons by the year end. That is what we are expecting. I wouldn't confirm or promise that, but that is what we are looking towards.
I think this was with the batch processing
yes.
method. So we've not figured out the continuous process.
We are not doing that. We are not doing the continuous process. We are
okay.
sticking to batch process.
Okay. What is the net debt on the balance sheet today?
Net debt on term loans is around 70 crores and working capital is about 94 crores. So total about 165 crores as on 31st December.
In the 94 crore working capital debt that you need to write off for rebase? Inventory that you are having in your working capital that you need to write off or rebase?
No, not currently.
Okay. Before the collapse started, we have consistently done about 200 crores of EBITDA for 3-4 years in a row.
Yes.
Assuming the cycle normalizes at some point of time, which nobody knows when, can we go back to that base, or will we do a higher EBITDA because of expansion in some capacities, debottlenecking that you might have done?
No, we would be looking at a higher base. Once if the markets go back to what they were, then we'll be looking at a higher EBITDA.
Okay. How much has your capacity expanded from 2019-20 to now?
Significantly. Actually, I'll have to add up plant-wise. About 400 metric tons a month in chlorination, then about... on a total level around 2000 metric tons on an annual basis.
2000 metric tons has been added on a base of how much in 2020?
I really don't have 2020 numbers right now in front of me, but what I can say is this is without the PAP. PAP itself has added 12,000 tons of capacity.
Sure.
On an annual basis, but if I remove the PAP bit, we've added around 400, so when I say 4, so around 1200 metric tons in chlorophenol, then about 6000 tons per annum in ammonolysis, and Jhagadia would be in hydrogenation, except a PAP would be another 500 tons.
So approximately what is the incremental revenue that we can do from the previous 3-4 years base?
So previous 3-4 years, the incremental revenue is actually coming mainly from PAP. If I remove the PAP, which an incremental revenue of around 200 crores at a full capacity that we are looking at, we are the other things would increase, but at the same time, you have to realize that last couple of years had its peak pricing. So my prices have corrected itself significantly. So all in all, we'll probably be at a constant level if I remove PAP out of the picture. Pharma intermediates will add another 80, so 280 from pharma intermediates, so 280, and OAP would probably add another 20-30 odd crores. So about 300 crores of incremental revenue from these new products.
Okay.
Balance awesome. Everything remain ideally similar because even the volume increase, the prices have come down.
Great. Okay. Thank you. This.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Rohit Putti, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to reconfirm some of the stuff that you said in the previous answer. So you said we are looking to hit 600 to 700 tons per month in PAP. Right, but I believe the capacity is 1,000. So what does this mean? So are we? I mean, is this the ceiling of where we'll be able to reach with the technology we have, or do we want to? Do we think we can go to the 800,000 tons per month in the next year? Or
see, 1,000 tons per month is the capacity. Firstly, you have to put in an optimum utilization. So usually, an 80-85% is more of a standard. So that 1,000 capacity becomes 850. In that 850, we are looking at around 600-650 is also because our primary buyer is Valiant Laboratories, which reaches its maximum utilization when they take 600-650. So balance, once we onboard more customers from outside where all where you know approvals are still in progress, we are still doing the marketing and trying to get in more customers, until then we'll stick around 600-700 metric tons. Once we increase our customer base, we can proceed further.
So just to reconfirm this, the limiting factor is the number of customers that we have outside of Valiant Laboratory, and it is not I mean, we went from the trying for continuous to batch to semi-batch continuous is what I remember. So, so it's not a technological issue. It's more a customer marketing issue for now, or not issue, but that's
so
what
earlier it was technological. When you move from continuous to batch, the capacity reduces. But we've done changes and we've added reactors in such a way that we can, you know, we continue to remain at 1,000 tons per month capacity. So now the limiting factor is getting newer customers on board.
Perfect. And you mentioned the number of, what is the revenue expectation when we hit whatever number in PAP? Is it 200 or 300?
So prices have corrected significantly. We would have, you know, earlier we were at, the pricing was higher, so we were expecting it to be close to 300. But given the current scenario, we are expecting it to be somewhere around 200-250.
Okay, do we stick on, I mean, at this price also, do we stick on to our previous call, what we mentioned about a five-year payback, or do you think that gets extended because of this?
That gets extended.
Okay, understood. And so the other question I have is, so, I mean, it was interesting to note that we actually grew our volumes over last quarter from chlorination segment, which I believe is the most profitable segment for us, right? So despite that, the margins have corrected significantly. So does this, is this because there's pricing pressure in chlorination and chlorophenol and we had to push the product?
That's exactly the reason. So there's not enough demand in the market, so we had to be competitive. So our prices have significantly come. China is continuously dumping at much lower prices, so we have to be competitive there.
Understood. Fair enough. So how are things looking for the next year?
So next year, it is really difficult, you know, when we were sitting at the same time last year, we believed that things would turn around, but it actually hasn't. So it's taking a lot longer and nobody really knows how quickly things will turn around. So I have to say it with that caveat that if things go back, or things are, they start improving, then we will definitely have a better year, because chlorophenols will pick up once the dyes and pigments market improve. Our ammonolysis will also pick up. PAP is where the volume will increase, eventually. OAP will be a newer addition to the product portfolio. So all in all, we are expecting FY25 to be better, but it comes with that disclaimer that things should turn around the way we are expecting.
Sir, absolutely understood. I think that the next question I have is, in general around this PAP, right? I mean, the stated objective in our annual reports is that we go for companies which are differentiated niche and which are difficult to do. So in context of what has happened so far, where we are going through pain because of the correction in the prices, is there any specific learning or something, not specifically, to understand the kind of, is there any change or in strategy or something in kind of capex that you think you will do going forward? Is there any specific learning that you're taking from PAP?
Yes, definitely there are learnings from PAP. One thing is for sure, that something that really works in a laboratory, when you scale up significantly, that changes. So we have to keep that in our minds at the forefront. So that is one thing that we've significantly learned out of this PAP experience. Second is all our other chemistries and products are more or less matured. So as far as current pricing pressure is concerned, we just have to sit and wait for the for the demand to come in. Everything will start improving from there onwards.
Perfect.
So no immediate change in strategy. We'll have to wait for another quarter or so to really have a strategic change, because we just feel that this is quite temporary, although prolonged temporary, but still something that will eventually turn around. So that is, not on an immediate base. Capex also, like we mentioned earlier, we won't be doing anything major. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay. So we won't be doing anything major or any new projects until these stabilize. However, newer products in chlorophenol are reaching its end. So that also will add to a product portfolio come in the Q1 next year.
So the reason I'm just thinking in terms of PAP, right? So China capacity was around 150,000, even though it reduced by 30,000. But there was news in India of Granules and Panoli and one or two other players, including Sadhana and all, coming up with large capacities. So,
right.
So in the context of the fact that it's sort of a game theory in play, right? So what is optimal for you in isolation is suboptimal when the whole system is taken into account.
You don't have to take palm trees into picture because they consume it captively. So PAP is not really in the market from their end. They are forward integrated to paracetamol. So that is not really in the market. So the PAP is not in the market. While other players, yes. Other players. So Panoli is there. So Fetch Chemical is there in the market. Apart from them and us, it's not really anyone at this point in time.
Understood. Fair enough, Mayor. And so last question from my end is, it's interesting to hear what BASF talks, because they are probably one of the largest in the world. And last quarter, they mentioned that 25% of the European chemical industry is going to die and they don't expect it to come back ever. And they are scaling up in China is what I understood, what I remember from reading their reports. So in that context, I believe we export to Europe, right? And we make textile chemicals and our end customers probably export to Europe. So
correct.
How are we positioned in that context, right? If one of our major end geographies is going to face a structural decline, how do we survive such a world? Or how do we, I'm sure we'll survive because we are strong balance sheet and product-wise, but how do we see growth and how do we see the progress and the future in this context?
No, fair enough concern. I think that is something that we are also looking at it at the management level, that if something of this sort happens, then we need to keep innovating and getting into newer products. But little early to say how it will impact us directly. For now, we are seeing some turnaround in demand, so we are, being optimistic here. But if things do happen in one of our major end geographies, then definitely it is something that we'll be looking at aggressively.
And is China an issue? In the sense, is there direct dumping or anything of that sort in our product
yes.
basket that you see in the market? Is there a big issue there now?
Yeah, it is definitely an issue because we are mostly import substitute products and those imports are from China. And if China is dumping at a significantly lower price, then it does become a point of concern for us.
And how does it look? I mean, do you see it reducing? Any indication of what is going to happen in the next few months?
No. Right now, we are seeing a little bit of a stable, like constant how it is. We'll have to wait because it's just been so volatile or, his last 2 years have been difficult. So we just, we'll wait and watch.
So the dumping continues for now?
Yes, for now it does.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. I mean, as always, you've been very detailed and kind with your answers. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Dheeraj Mehta from Active Mind Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my question was regarding FY25 specifically. So I believe we have a bunch of new products that likely might come in. Whether it be pharma intermediates and some chloroformal products. So from the previous calls, what I could gather that for AP, we had guided for around 30 crores of revenue in FY25. For pharma intermediates, we plan to launch 8 products in the early part of FY25, which would probably contribute at least 70 crores. And then these included plus chloroformal. Any indication or guidance on what kind of revenue contribution could we see in FY25?
So FY25, we are hoping to grow at least somewhere around 40% or so. So we are hoping that we'll be in the 900 to 1000 range given how this year has gone and how the prices have moved. Earlier we were saying that we'll be somewhere around 1100 crores, but I think I'll have to say that we'll probably be conservative and say that we'll be somewhere between 900 to 1000.
Out of these 900, how much would come from these new products, OAP, pharma intermediates, and probably the chloroformal?
So like you said, pharma intermediates will be somewhere around 70. PAP will be somewhere around 200 crores. OAP will be somewhere around 25-30 crores. So these are the new products. And chloroformal, the new product we are yet to analyze. Once it comes and hits the market, then we'll see how they are moving. So I cannot really say how much contribution will come from the new products of chlorination.
Got it, fair enough. Second question regarding our ammonolysis products. So probably which, are heavily concentrated in the textile industry, PNA or CPNA. So
right.
Any commentary on, turnaround you see there or, currently we might not have any visibility. So any comments on that?
So we saw some very momentary turnaround in last quarter in September, but that quickly turned around again. And, October, November had been weak on our ammonolysis products as well. It has more or less remained similar. So even if you see the volume growth, it has been, it actually declined a little bit, declined significantly actually from previous quarter. For now, it is what it is. We've not seen a big reversal or anything. It would be too early to say if that improvement will stay.
Got it. One last question from my side. So broadly categorized, the end user segments that we serve are probably agrochem, textiles, paracetamol, and probably now maybe pharma intermediates could become one. Any other end user segment that we plan to target? Because fortunately, unfortunately, we are seeing headwinds in at least three of these segments at the same time. Previous question also mentioned about, you know, risks regarding agrochem. So any other new segment that we plan to enter? Any early stage discussions that are happening?
Currently, nothing that we are looking at, because most of our products are aligned to these end industries. We are optimistic that they will turn around. You know, the low situation will not remain forever, right? So we'll just wait for it to turn around.
Got it. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And please wait for your turn to ask the question. Our next question comes from Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is, on the last call, you mentioned that the understanding was we are towards the lowest end of the cost curve, especially for chlorination. And a few of the Chinese players would have probably shut down their capacity for some time. And from there also, looks like the prices have gone down further. So how do you think about at what point the price correction stops, because the cost of production is about the price that we are selling, at least for some players. So any thoughts on that aspect?
So I missed the first part of your question. I think your voice was not clear.
Okay, so I was, last phone call, we mentioned that we are towards the lowest end of the cost curve, especially in the chlorination part of the business. And from your market intelligence, you understood that some of the Chinese players may have shut down plants for some time.
So, you know, you're right. So that that was the case. Actually, in chlorination bit, the shutdown had happened a couple of years ago, not in the last quarter. So those came back online. And what I remember saying is one of them even had to move to Mongolia because of environmental issues. And because of the extreme temperatures there, they had to remain shut for 3-4 months in a year. So that was the scenario earlier, and that's why the peak in chlorophenols was seen. Currently, it is very stable. There are Chinese products, there are Chinese companies who are already operational since a couple of years now. The problem is that their demand, domestic demand has reduced, and because of that, there's inventory built up over there, which they are currently dumping, and that is why we are seeing the pricing pressure.
Is the production still going on at the optimum capacity even in
for
China?
China also, China have also reduced, but they have inventory built up.
Okay, understood. And so the second question is on the hydrogenation. So after SAF coming in, the volumes, I'm not sure if last year what were the SAF volumes in the same quarter, but even after SAF volume addition, the overall volumes have come down. So can you throw some light on that? So apart from SAF, other hydrogenation products, the volumes have gone down substantially on a
came in FY22, but that was a year where we were still trying to achieve, so even in FY22 it was negligible. FY23 and 24 is when the PAP started increasing its volume. It was in the increasing trend through all the quarters except for the current quarter. So PAP have significantly come down in this quarter. However, that was not the case in the earlier quarters. Apart from PAP, if I remove the PAP out of it, there was a reduction in volume in the other hydrogenation products, and that is mainly because of the market demand. But more or less, that is also improving. So if I remove PAP out of hydrogenation, we've seen a volume growth in the other products in this quarter. but prices have corrected. So that is why you don't see that uptick in the top line. But the volumes, apart from PAP, they have increased. But when we are saying hydrogenation, you are seeing it all together, so that movement is not very clear.
Hello, Manan sir. So sorry to interrupt you, sir. I request you to please come back in the queue for more questions, sir.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I request the participants to restrict with one question in the initial round and join the queue for more questions. Our next question comes from Rutuja Tanwalkar from Ashit Mehta. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. So if I look at your margin profile, so it has fallen from about 27% in FY21 to about 8% in 9 months FY24. So what has really changed? Could you give a clarity? And also, what is your margin guidance for FY25?
Yes, historically our margins used to remain high. We were at a smaller product profile. We were looking at expansion. We were also looking at new product addition. So FY21-22, we've added newer products. So we've achieved volume growth, but in terms of margin, some of them were margin dilutive, but at an absolute level, it was an increase in the EBITDA. So that is the reason for the reduction in the margin level. And coupled with that, you have to take into consideration the geopolitical issues that came in last 2 years. So while we were expanding and bringing newer products and newer expansions, the market also went in a turmoil. So all of that together has brought that 27% down to, less than 15% EBITDA margin year on year. So that is the movement. As far as some guidance is concerned, we look at, on a stable state, we look at being somewhere around 20% EBITDA margin, but I wouldn't say that we'll achieve that immediately. Given the prices at which the market is right now, FY25 could be lower than 20%, but our aim and goal will be that we stay in the upward of 20%.
Oh, okay. Thanks. And one more question. So if I look at your end user industry, dyes and pigments form the largest share at about 40%. So how do you see the textile industry shaping up, say, next 6 to 12 months?
Firstly, I would suggest our end industry breakup would not really be ideal if you see this quarter or the last quarter, because there's been a lot of movement in the market, as well as our chlorination was hit with a fire last year, because of which our chlorination contribution went significantly down, but which now we are regaining that along with the market demand increasing. So I would say that pharma would be our largest at somewhere close to 50%, whereas ammonolysis, so dyes and pigments and agro will remain more or less at equal level at 30% odd. And the balance would be the balance. So that is how we believe that our end user industry will the breakup will be, the end user share will be.
Okay, thanks a lot. That was all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Our next question comes from Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. On the China dumping side, how is the situation currently, and do you think that dumping has reduced a bit in this quarter?
Sorry, your last part I didn't understand. So China dumping remains. It is. I really am not in a position to really predict how it is going. I wouldn't be the right person to make that statement. So I'll refrain from that. But what we are seeing is it is still happening. So we'll probably wait for a quarter to realize how that will turn.
So the prices continue to remain subdued in this quarter?
Yeah, prices continue to remain subdued.
Okay, so what gives us confidence of achieving the top line of 1,000 crore next year? this is primarily dependent on, you know, China abating its dumping.
Yeah, so like I said, right, it comes with a disclaimer that if things turn around, if demand picks up, then the Chinese domestic demand will also increase, and with that, the dumping will reduce. So that is the optimism that we are moving forward with.
One thing I wanted to understand, you know, especially in our products.
You're very, your voice is quite low. If you could just come nearer to.
Sure. So I was asking, you know, we used to understand that chlorophenols and all were did not have much of Chinese competition. But, you know, when their demand has reduced substantially, they have started dumping in the Indian markets. So, you know, has that happened before in the past 4-5 years, or this is the first time it has happened that, you know, such significant dumping has started to happen in the Indian
So, let me first correct you. Chinese competition is the only competition we have for chlorophenols. We don't have any domestic competition here. So, Chinese was the main competitors always. Having said that, Chinese dumping in chlorophenol is not really that much in India. I'm talking about Chinese dumping on the other products. China is dumping their chlorophenol mostly on the European markets and the Indian players who export to Europe.
Okay. And how is the situation in some of our other products, like in hydrogenation and ammonolysis?
Situation is you know, like I already said, it's quite subdued. We've seen some improvement in chlorophenols, as I mentioned earlier also, but apart from that, we don't really, not much has moved from November, December.
And how is the raw material prices moved? You know, if that raw material prices have come down, at least some of our margins could have been protected. So how is the situation now on the raw material?
Yeah, so with the price correction, the raw material prices have also come down. So if you see our contribution margins have remained more or less similar as last quarter. So RMC has also come down with respect to the price corrections on the end product. So that way it is in sync.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just had one clarification. So I think in one of the earlier questions you had answered. So in terms of assuming the current prices and assuming optimum utilization, you think that the peak revenues would be around 1,300 crores. Is that what you said? 200 crores from PAP and about 100 crores from the others, and the base business will continue to be like that given the volumes have grown but the prices have come down. So is that understanding correct, or I missed something?
Not 1,300. I was saying that we'll be somewhere around 900 to 1,000. Where prices have come down, but the volume increase from PAP and the new products coming in would add somewhere around 300 crores. So total, it will total up to somewhere around 900 to 1,000.
Okay. So in that case, then you had
mentioned, this is on standalone basis. I'm not talking about consolidated.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Understood. Okay. And so assuming this, so then, I mean, you said that the base EBITDA which we used to earn was 200 odd crores, and this you would be, whenever things revive, you would think that the numbers would be higher. But you said that the EBITDA margin would be around 20 odd percent is your target. So I was not able to reconcile the two statements.
Like I said, so FY25 is not when we'll be in that range. That will be more of a year where things will keep turning. So initial quarters may be weaker and then the second half may be stronger. But by FY26, the new products that I'm talking about will come in, but we'll also continue to add more. So the aim of being around 20% margin is arising out of our current new products, existing products, and some innovations that we'll do down the way, right, in next 2 years. So So all of that, our aim and goal remains to be upward of 20%, not with the existing product portfolio itself.
Got it. Okay, understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity again. Sir, what would be the CAPEX plan for FY25?
So FY25, currently we don't have, we are not looking at doing any big projects or any significant CAPEX. It will be the standard, maintenance capex that comes around 30-40 crores. But apart from that, we are not doing. I'm not commenting on any large capex right now. We'll see how the year ends and how the new year starts. So probably somewhere in the second half of this year, we'll be able to plan a capex plan for the next year, the year after.
And sir, what is the outgo for term loan capex in FY25?
Outflow for FY20, as in the repayment outflow, the payments. So we do some close to 10-11 crores a quarter, so about 40-50 crores of repayment for FY25.
That's true. Thanks a lot, sir.
But there are two loans which will retire. One loan will retire in September, while the other will retire in February. But so it will be decreasing amount, but this is on an average that much.
That's true. That's very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we were able to provide you with the clarifications that you needed at your side. Thank you once again, and look forward to speaking to you all in the next quarter.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Doorsabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.